This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Scott Simon in Washington, D.C. Neil Conan is away. 60 years ago this month, American history, not just sports history, was made. Jackie Robinson stepped onto the playing field wearing a Brooklyn Dodgers uniform. America's national pastime, baseball, was suddenly integrated. Now, baseball was ahead of America. The armed forces weren't integrated. Segregation was still the law in most southern states, and a way of life in much of the North. Congress wouldn't pass a Voting Rights Act until 1965. Many civil rights marchers in the 1960s said that they'd been inspired by Jackie Robinson, walking undaunted under a hail of taunts and threats. Jackie Robinson's courage helped break down barriers for African Americans in sports, education, and the law. But today, the percentage of African Americans in the major leagues and attending baseball games has sharply declined. Later this hour on the opinion page, are women in the military especially vulnerable and therefore a bad idea in combat units? But first, if you're a fan, a player, have you noticed there are less African Americans at the ballpark? If you're a ball player, a manager of a league at any level, what are some of the reasons? Our number here in Washington, D.C. is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our number, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And our email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation and our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. We're going to begin this conversation with one of the great names of baseball history, Dave Winfield. A Hall of Famer, played for the Yankees, the Padres, the Angels, the Blue Jays, and the Twins. Hope I didn't miss anyone. And he's written a new book, Dropping the Ball, Baseball's Troubles and How We Can and Must Solve Them. He joins us from our studios at NPR West. Mr. Winfield, what a pleasure to have you with us.
Hello, Scott. My pleasure to be here.
And in your opinion, sir, just bluntly, how is baseball dropping the ball?
Well, first of all, they're making money. And people are coming through the turnstiles. They've broken attendance records in the major leagues and the minor leagues. But then again, there's some disturbing trends, as you're pointing out. There's nothing wrong with having an international business. You must be thoughtful and, you know, forward-thinking and think about how to be successful as a business. But domestically, we've suffered. America has changed, what it comes down to. When you talk about African Americans and urban people not attending baseball games and or participating in it, just society has changed in such a way where baseball is no longer just free and constant and connected and relevant or relating to people of color. There's more competition on the scene, such as football and basketball. It was 42 years ago about precisely that they started. They didn't think the Super Bowl would be successful. That would have been a wrong guess. Basketball, look at how much it's taken over urban areas. Kids all want to be NBA players. And then during the month of March, no one even goes to work, it seems, for March Madness. So a lot of competition out there.
Certainly true around here. There are just a few people straggling back. now, you were, I believe you were drafted in three sports, weren't you?
Correct. Football, basketball, baseball.
What made you, in your time, you were one of the most versatile athletes in the United States. What made you choose baseball?
Well, I'm over 50 right now, and when I was growing up, baseball was undoubtedly, unquestionably, the number one sport in America. Wasn't much competition. They didn't care if Bob Cousy and Bill Russell were winning 10 NBA championships. People didn't aspire to be that. There was, it was just the number one sport in America. There was a playground a half a block away. I had good coaching. I could go outdoors 5-6 hours at a time with my brother, which kids are unable to do nowadays. And I learned to love the sport. And although I participated in the others, when the opportunity for a livelihood came about after college, I said, I'm going to play baseball. Not for the money, because professional sports weren't making millions and millions of dollars when I started. It was because I loved it, I was good at it, and that's what I wanted to do.
Let me ask a couple of follow-up questions, if I could, Mr. Winfield. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you made this decision after college. One of the things I've read recently is that I guess when baseball raised the age level for youngsters, young men, and young women, if it comes to that, who could be drafted in baseball, raised the age level in 1965, it had the practical effect of encouraging baseball to go into parts of Latin America and maybe now Asia and Africa and recruiting youngsters there who can be as young as 12, 13, 14, 15. I think they can't be signed until they're 16. And that's why baseball has opened up all these baseball academies in, outside of the United States.
Yeah, it's a combination of things. Age, you can sign kids earlier. The rules and the laws are different on signing kids. In America, you have to be either 18 or finished high school or gone to college, and they can select you. But kids that are high draft picks in America cost a whole lot more than the circumstances with which you could sign people in Latin America. You could get 20 or 30 people for the same price. And when one out of nine makes it to the big leagues at all, where are you going to invest your money? On a $3 million first-round draft pick and only one out of nine makes it? Or do you want to get 20 from somewhere else? And you know someone's going to come to the top, particularly when they have that desire. You know, it's very stark. You have maybe a life of poverty, or it may be tough, or you can rise to the top of the heap. In America, we have so many options. We're much more comfortable, relaxed. Maybe I'll do this, maybe I won't. And they're coming through from Latin America like the guys from the Negro Leagues did in the 1940s.
Let me to follow up on that. What about, and I've read this also, the idea that to a lot of youngsters these days, they have a hope of being a success or can in football or basketball by the time they're 20. Whereas with rare exceptions, baseball is the kind of sport where you might play half a dozen years in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I point this out in my book. Again, I don't know if we mentioned it, but dropping the ball, I make the comparisons. And I would be glad to sit with any parent of kids and say, okay, here's football, here's basketball, here's baseball. And most of the people would end up saying for baseball, since baseball has the strongest union and the best collective bargaining, you know, system going, you would say, really? I didn't know that. Oh, my God. Oh, you can last a long time. Oh, you're not going to be permanently injured or damaged in your career. Baseball has so much more going for it. You don't even have to be the number one man or the biggest star on the team, but you'll play a long time. You'll have your health, your pension and benefits, and all that's in order. And it's much better than the other sports. No comparison. But to get there, there are some difficulties. Kids nowadays, I want it now, I want it quickly, I want a lot without the investment. And the same thing for college. I must point out the difficulty for a baseball player, collegiate, NCAA collegiate sports, but you get a full scholarship for basketball or a full scholarship for baseball. Baseball, since it's reduced, it's not a money-making sport, there are 11.7 scholarships, you get a half a scholarship. So when a parent looks at it, am I going to pay half of this $30,000 tuition and fees and books and go into debt? Or should my athletic son take the full ride? And usually they're going to steer them to a football or a basketball.
Yeah. I just read recently that Howard University has given up its baseball program.
Yeah, there are a lot of schools that have done that because baseball isn't a money-making sport in college. You know, when you go to Florida State and you look at their ballpark, it looks like the Baltimore Ravens ballpark. You know, it's got statues and, you know, it's amazing. You know, 100,000 people go to these games. Yeah. So they bring in money. Baseball, it could range anywhere from a couple of hundred people to the Southeast Conference, where they're really strong in baseball, maybe 7,000 or 8,000.
Let's get our listeners to join the conversation, if we could now. We don't want to go to Mohammed in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for being with us. You're on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, and thank you for an opportunity to talk to Mr. Winfield. I think two elements in the African-American community that I recognize or notice is that there seems to be an absence of volunteers to gather young African-American men and get them interested in baseball. And then you see, you know, the playgrounds, because of violence and other reasons, are almost vacant. You don't see kids like when I grew up who played baseball during the summer. I grew up in Milwaukee. And lastly, I have a question for Mr. Winfield.
Sure.
Do you understand why Jackie Robinson felt it was necessary to to speak out against Muhammad Ali when he refused to serve in the military?
No, I wasn't. I was too young back then, but I really couldn't say.
Can I answer that one?
Yeah, you. And then I'll answer the first part.
Yes. Jackie Robinson had a son in the military at that point who was serving in Vietnam, and he thought it undercut morale.
Okay.
And the first part of his question, when I said society has changed, now kids can no longer be without parental supervision for 5-6 hours at a time when kids used to learn to love the game playing those sandlot games where they were spontaneous. Now kids, they put on a uniform to 8 or 9 years old and the parents look at them. Why can't he play? Because they never played the games that kids did when we were young. So a lot of... there's been a lot of transition in our society, which really affects baseball from its very, very roots.
Muhammad, thank you very much. We want to go next to Chris, who's in Williamsburg, Virginia. You're on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks very much, Scott. And it's a delight to speak to you, Mr. Winfield. I've just enjoyed watching you since I was a young man, and I'm delighted that you've written this book. I have a couple of comments about youth sports. My son takes part in youth baseball and is been on a couple of travel teams and all-star teams. I think one of the things that's changed, and you alluded to this a moment ago, Mr. Winfield, that kids don't just go out and play ball. They have to be organized. And youth sports has become an industry just like college and professional sports in some ways. We're encouraging kids at the ages of 8 and 9 years old to be on travel teams and to have to, big fees that are paid and more equipment that's required. And I think that to a large extent, this puts competitive baseball out of the reach of large segments of poor communities, and that would be poor communities, black, Latino, white communities all over the place. The second thing...
Well, you hit it on the head.
May I ask you, Chris, if you could hold the rest of your question, your inquiry, and Mr. Winfield, if you could hold your answer for just a moment. We're talking with great Dave Winfield, the Hall of Fame ballplayer, about the declining number of African Americans in baseball, on the field, and in the stands. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call 800-989-TALK. You can send us an email. That address is talk@npr.org. I'm Scott Simon, and it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Scott Simon in Washington, D.C., sitting in for Neil Conan. With baseball season in full swing now, we're talking today about the shrinking percentage of African-American players in Major League Baseball. In a few minutes, we'll hear about one program that the league has tried to put together to help solve the problem. Right now, our guest, Dave Winfield. He played 22 seasons in the major leagues. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's author of a new book, Dropping the Ball, Baseball's Troubles and How We Can and Must Solve Them. If you're a fan, if you're a player, does this bother you? Does this interest you? Please give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can also read what other listeners have to say on our blog, npr.org/blog of the nation. Mr. Winfield, and we were dealing with Chris, too, one of our callers from Williamsburg, Virginia. You began to give an answer, and I'm afraid I cut you short.
He pointed it out, exactly what's kind of gone on, the changes in our society, where everything was free and it was connected and everybody taught baseball. They rarely teach baseball anymore. It's so segmented because now their coaches have gone to soccer. That was a foreign sport 30 years ago. No one taught it. No one played it. There were no leagues. What he did point out when it comes to baseball, now kids, once they finish Little League, people have pretty much chosen who are the better players. If parents have money, they put them in travel teams, club teams, which do cost money and do take extra time. And the parents from urban areas and inner city areas or single parent families, they have trouble putting their kids into these type of programs. So they have to rely on, the Parks and Rec Department, which now they usually have financial troubles. You have to hope that they have good coaching, space available, baseball-only fields, which usually doesn't happen. So the final point I'm making is that at some point very early on, the baseball becomes separate but unequal. Progress and growth. I use that word because that's what happens. If you rely on the free, hopefully that it's connected and there's good coaching compared to the travel teams that play a lot of games against stiff competition. They practice and they travel and they train differently. You are on two separate paths.
Mr. Winfield, what about the cost of going to a baseball game for, let's say, a family of four?
People do bring that question up, but again, on a competitive basis, there people cannot go to football games. You don't see any kids or families going to, hey, let's go to the NFL game. They can't afford that. NBA game, they can't afford it. Baseball is truly much more affordable. Usually ball clubs have payment plans or ticket plans in place to accommodate virtually everyone. San Diego, who I work for, has $5 tickets, in fact.
And let me ask this. What do you think the United States is on the verge of losing as African-American interest in the game of baseball dwindles? I mean, to point out the obvious, you have a high tide of interest in Latin America and Asia, which also in many ways enriches the game.
Yes, I mean, it is a world game. It's been a world game for 100 years. They play it in Cuba and Latin America. They've had professional teams and leagues for a long, long time. And Asia is caught up to America. What America's losing, and it's kind of like General Motors has done. They took their eye off the ball. They dropped it. They said, we invented the car, and all of a sudden they look around, took their thumb off the pulse, didn't pay attention to their domestic requirements or desires, and all of a sudden they don't have 50% of the market. They're considering consolidation. They're considering bankruptcy. Baseball isn't in that category, but I will say this. How do you know when you allow less than 10 years ago, 11% of the now 76 million fans that come to a game dwindle to perhaps 5%? That's a lot of money, right? That's a lot of people and a lot of money. Then think of the athleticism that you're losing from the African-American community. The top athletes used to play baseball. Yeah. I can honestly tell you that's not the case now.
I want to hear your answer to a question I'm told that Daniel in Conway, Arkansas has. Daniel, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm pulling over to the side of the road now so you guys can hear me a little bit better. You have to excuse me for that.
Good precaution under any circumstance. Thank you, Dan.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm on my way to work now, but I'll get to the crux of what I was going to say. I wanted to tell Mr. Winfield I appreciate his years as a ball player and appreciate him thinking critically about sports and writing a book that hopefully fans will read. I am more of a basketball fan, although I have a lifelong love for the sport of baseball. And watching basketball over the last few years, particularly professional basketball in the NBA, I've seen, and this is a white person talking, but it seems to me like professional basketball is truly Black America's sport, you know? And it seemed to me that it's more of an important racial issue in basketball for Black people to try to take ownership in professional basketball and try to change the way that, younger players are mined and primed and maybe try to develop some sort of minor league for basketball, as owner Mark Cuban has suggested on his blog before. That seems to me like more of a racial issue and more of an important thing to be talking about than baseball, because I don't know if Jackie Robinson did what he did for baseball as much as he did it for minorities. And minorities truly have more of a vested interest in basketball, it seems, and the way it could be marketed and the way that marketing could change. And I will gladly take an answer or hear discussion off the air to this question.
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Winfield.
He came from a lot of different directions on that, but I will say this, that the other sports, football and basketball in particular, have marketed their sport better. Baseball has been around for over 100 years. We had the landscape to ourselves entirely. So, we didn't really have to push that hard because you were coming to baseball. A lot of competition out there for mind share, pocketbook share. So we have to rethink. We have to redouble our efforts on how they reach the urban areas and the people that have kind of gone away from the game, been lured away from other sports. And so that's what I would say in that respect. And you will read in when you read my book, it's really about a third of the book is about it's solutions oriented. Here are some things that are working. Here is what some other people are doing, because baseball used to be like a vast ocean. It was large. It encompassed, covered everything, but no longer. There are a lot of large lakes, some tributaries, some streams, but it's not as connected as it was, and it's not just everywhere. So we have to rethink our strategy on how to keep it alive and vital and a part of America. And the other part that I'll say, I'm pushing this because I know how much when you support baseball in your community, it is a community-oriented issue. It brings people together more than any other sport, and that's why I like it as well.
Well, I want to bring in another guest as you're talking about solutions, Mr. Winfield. That's Daryl Miller. He's director of Major League Baseball's Urban Youth Academy out there in Compton, California. It's the league's prototype facility trying to jumpstart interest in baseball in inner-city communities. He also joins us from a studio at NPR West. You're in a different studio than Mr. Winfield?
Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing? Hey, guys,
good.
How are you?
Tell us a bit about your program, if you could, Mr. Miller.
Well, our program, we're on a 10-acre facility on the grounds of formerly Compton Community College, now El Camino College Compton Center. And we have, a 10-acre complex with four fields, one girls softball, one little league type of field, and two major league type fields. And our program, and also a 15,000 square foot clubhouse that has four locker rooms, a athletic training area, and also the ability to lift weights and condition yourself as well. Our programming consists of, we have leagues and training for the young kids. I heard Dave talking about, some of the competitive baseball leagues. Our goal is to get the kids playing at a higher level. You know, the kids are playing, and the kids that don't even know they want to play, playing at their highest possible level, give them instruction. We break it up into six-week segments of what we call our instructional leagues, where we're working on skill development. Dave talked about that, I'm sure. You know, how baseball is different than other sports. There's specific skills that need to be developed for you to be competitive. And the other part of our programming is vocational and educational in regards to all the other jobs that baseball, grants us or can afford. In other words, there's so many other opportunities besides just playing on the field. There's opportunities in the front office, opportunities as an athletic trainer, athletic field turf manager. There's so many great vocational opportunities. You can be a scout, mm-hmm. you can be in player development, and we want to make sure our kids understand that there's so many great opportunities in and around the great game of baseball.
How's it working so far, Mr. Miller?
We're very pleased. In the first year, we went through about 2,600 kids, and we are extremely positive and pleased with the results. I think in the first year we've made some adjustments. We've done some adjusting in regards to the program offerings, but we've actually been overwhelmed with the amount of kids and the amount of support that we're getting from the kids that are out there that are playing and the kids that haven't played yet and they're coming out and learning how to play the game of baseball.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
And what I would add to what Daryl was saying that. People have to understand this is the first of its kind in the U.S. So it's kind of an incubator. It's a tremendous facility. It has a tremendous potential. And again, the rules and the guidelines are different than Latin America, where the kids are signed and they sometimes live on the campus, mm-hmm. and are taught English, and there's a cultural transition that has to be made. So this is it's different because it's in the U.S. And the other thing that I have to say is those kids usually are in Latin America and other countries are bound to one particular ball club.
Yeah.
Might be the Oakland A's have one. The Padres are building one of the finest state-of-the-art facilities, probably $7-8 million facility down there. And but in the United States, people right now aren't bound to a particular team. So we're just trying. This is grassroots. It's an effort to really retrain people's thinking, introduce them to baseball and one of the state-of-the-art facilities in America.
Mr. Miller, I take a look at the call board, and there are a couple people who are calling in and pointing out that as far as they're concerned, they don't see as many baseball fields or even blades of grass as they used to, that a lot of it is blacktopped these days.
Exactly.
So that's a factor, too.
Absolutely. And Dave was talking about how a little bit earlier that it's so much easier to play other sports and where the competition is there. In urban areas, the main issue you have is the availability of fields. Some of those fields have been taken over by gangs. Some of them aren't taken care of anymore. A lot of the little leagues have dried up in the inner cities because they are community-based, family-based, and oriented organizations. And as the family disintegrates in urban America, thus does little league baseball in urban America. So we really do have to rethink the way that we go about presenting the game of baseball. And I think the academy perspective is an alternative, and that's why Major League Baseball plans to expand the offerings not only just in Compton but also on the East Coast as well and throughout America. You know, Lord willing, we'll be successful and be able to model and build this in other places.
Well, Mr. Miller, thanks so much. Gerald Miller is director of Major League Baseball's Urban Youth Academy in Compton, California. And Mr. Winfield, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Oh, no, we're not saying goodbye to Dave Winfield.
Okay.
Well, we're going to talk to you a little bit more. When we come back from a short break, the Talk of the Nation opinion page, an argument that women in combat can be especially vulnerable and therefore positioned to become prawns of propaganda. Do women belong in combat, not as a question of equity but effectiveness? You can call 800-989-8255 or email us at talk@npr.org. I'm Scott Simon. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're still joined by Dave Winfield out at the studios of NPR West. Thanks for staying on with us. Forgive me for almost...
not a problem.
...for thanking you prematurely. I want to ask about something as basic as equipment. It seems to me that bats and balls and gloves are at least costing more than I can remember. Is that also a problem?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm not saying it's the only problem or difficulty. You try to play hockey, that's out of people's reach. If you want to play tennis and go to a higher level and go to these training camps and facilities, it's out of the general person's reach. Basketball is probably the least expensive unless they get some one of those high-end shoes that that cost as much
as... And you can't play without those.
It costs as much as Mama's high heel from Italy or something. But essentially, yeah, baseball does cost. The bats are expensive when these aluminum bats and shoes and things of this nature. But historically, it used to be absorbed by community-based groups and people would work together and have a little banquet and raise enough money, and the kids have uniforms and spikes and shoes and could play. But again, they've kind of disintegrated, so it's not as everyone isn't as close as they used to be. So it's you're on your own. It's kind of you're on your own now.
Yeah. Well, that might be in line with a call we have from Bobby in Olean, New York. Bobby, you with us?
Oh, good afternoon, and thank you for having me on your show.
First, are you a Yankees fan?
Yeah, Dave, I want to say I'm a big fan of yours. In 1985, I met you at the Holiday Inn in Seattle while you were playing. You were so gracious. You let me sit in.
You remember that, don't you, Mr. Winfield?
He bought me a Heineken. We sat there.
Well. You know,
I was such a fan. He said, "You must be a sports writer." I said, "No, Dave, I'm just a big fan." And we talked about when he played basketball in Minnesota. But anyway,
okay. About a minute
I coached 3 years, Dave, excuse me, and been involved with the young kids. And as I see it, one of the problems is a lot of fathers, and it doesn't matter what color here, black or white, the mothers would come and use us. We were more or less a babysitting service. They would come, drop the youngsters off. Well, when's practice or when's the game done? And very rarely did I see fathers from any race. And then coupled with the fact, like you just mentioned, the cost of equipment, I see that as a problem with the youngsters, especially in the inner city. And I see the lack of putting out heroes for the kids. Like when I was growing up.
We only have a couple seconds left.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Winfield.
You know, boy, you're hitting all these things on the head. And I do address them in the book. I tell you, just so people know, I really addressed, first of all, my vision, what I see for the game. What everybody can do, needs to do, if they want to. It's like the vote. Stand up, get involved, do something. Otherwise, settle for the changes that are evolving and what's in place as we speak. But I do have suggestions for everybody, from the kids how to get outside, and parents, how to teach them those youth games that we used to develop. If you ask a kid, have you ever played pepper? Have you ever played home run derby, strikeout, stickball? They don't know how to do it. That's where you learn the love of the game. So parents, teach them that. And there's 100 other suggestions. Check it out in my new book.
Dave Winfield, could you stay on with us for 5 minutes? By popular demand, we have so many calls.
I will do that.
Dave Winfield, author of Dropping the Ball, Baseball's Troubles, How We Can and Must Solve Them. I'm Scott Simon, sitting in for Neil Conan today. What a pleasure to talk to Dave Winfield. We're going to come back eventually with Talk of the Nation opinion page. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Back now with Dave Winfield. At NPR West. Mr. Winfield, we lost a caller who was on the line who had an interesting idea. He said that he thought you were the hope of baseball, that you should be the baseball commissioner. And I'm going to refine that question to ask, do the people who run Major League Baseball even think of someone like you as commissioner in the sense that you're a baseball man? You haven't negotiated, to my knowledge, broadcasting contracts. You're a baseball man. It's the integrity and the state of the game that concerns you.
Let's say I'm trying to take a leadership position on the issues that we're talking about in baseball at this moment. I mean, I appreciate their thoughts, thinking that we need some people to, you know, move the dial, I guess, on the sport. But no, that's not what I'm trying to do here. Let's just say that up front. Boy, there's so many things that I appreciate them looking at me and trying to provide some leadership. Believe me, I've had just about every position in this sport. I played the game my whole life. I've been in the media and broadcasting. I work in the front office now. I've been a player representative to help the players get what they have. What my unique position allows me to do, because I still have relationships with the people that, you know, in baseball, I played with and against some of the guys who are still there. Mm-hmm. The Players Association. I work in Major League Baseball. It enables me just to have this vision that I have. It's more than a vision, because I've had a lot of these ideas for 15 years, some of them that baseball hadn't acted on. And I'm saying, man, I'm sitting here, and the game is changing, and people are always asking questions. I said, I need to address that. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now, and I hope that the people at the top of both Major League Baseball and the Players Association and the players and the community, all the people are looking at baseball in a different way and saying, we can do something. We can keep improving it. We can keep it strong. So that's where I am right now. Maybe that's the best way to answer it at this moment.
Mm. Well, I ask because, of course, when you read the sports pages, and this is hardly an original observation, a lot of it reads like the business and marketing session. And, mm-hmm. and let's be realistic. For the game to succeed, of course it has to succeed at that level. On the other hand, we can remember a time when the commissioner of baseball was somebody who was entrusted with the integrity of the game. And I'm not even talking about in ancient times. I think a lot of people thought that that Bart Giamatti and for that matter, Fay T. Vincent, his successor, were shrewd businessmen. They had corporate interests in mind. On the other hand, they realized that baseball was a business, but something more than a business. How much of that thinking is in the game?
I think it has to change a little bit, where it's not all about money. It really isn't, because the sport is making money. Mm-hmm. They're almost both sides, the Players Association and Major League Baseball, really has to look at this. How do we partner? How do we collaborate? How can we be innovative and address some of the issues that we're faced with today? We can keep making money, but that's really the way I start my book. I say it's kind of could be a hollowed out success if we don't pay attention, because I don't think everyone is loving and embracing and playing the game as they used to. They're going through the turnstiles because it's the best sports entertainment alternative right now. But again, it's not that everyone is playing, because it's disconnected right after Little League. There's no continuity. And, you know, people have other things to choose from. So we really have to think about, how are we going to reach and embrace and do some guerrilla grassroots marketing, reach the urban and minority area, so we don't lose top athletes and and so much of the fan base eroding. We just have to pay attention to it. It's okay to go international. It truly is. That's what any forward-thinking industry has to do, but not at the expense of you don't want to run faster at home just to stay even, you know, by international increases in attendance.
Dave Winfield, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Winfield, author of the new book, Dropping the Ball, Baseball's Troubles, How We Can and Must Solve Them, joining us from NPR West. Right now, the Talk of the Nation opinion page.